comes from Ephesians 4, 1-16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Hello everyone. Slight change in program. I'm replacing Bishop Peter Lynn, Gary Koo here. Though the resemblance is striking, isn't it? Don't quite have his episcopal bearing. Anyway, let me pray as we come to God's word. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks again for our time together at Synod. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. And we do pray, Father, you continue to humble us as we come before your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, seems a long time ago, but last week in Ephesians, we saw a number of things. We saw how we were dead in our transgressions and sins, which meant being dead before God, and that it's by grace, through faith, that we can now be saved and know life. Then on Tuesday, we saw how this grace that has come to us from God transforms human relationships. Then on Wednesday, we saw how the church, the gathering of God's people, both Jew and Gentile, displays to the rulers and authorities the manifold wisdom of God. And if there's one take-home message from all that we saw last week, it's that we need to keep on telling people about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of his grace. But the question I want us to be thinking about this afternoon is, well, how do we do this? What does this look like? What does it look like to gather in such a way that leads to people hearing about Jesus? And Paul here in Ephesians chapter 4 says that the key to all this is to think of ourselves as a body. And if you have a look at verse 12, Paul uses the word body to describe the gathering of God's people. He does this elsewhere as well. He says much the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. And the one thing that these three passages all share in common is that each of them are talking about spiritual gifts. Now, what does a body have to do with spiritual gifts? In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." In other words, a church is just like a body when it comes to spiritual gifts, because you can have a different gift and still be part of the same body. In fact, you need all the different gifts for the body to be healthy and functioning, just as a body needs its parts to be doing its job. I mean, after all, what is the most important part of the body? Some of you might think it's your hands. You need your hands to operate your iPhone. It's very hard to live without your hands, but it's hard to get around if you don't have legs. But you can't see where you're going if you don't have eyes, and eyes need oxygen, so you're going to need lungs, and lungs need nutrition, so you're going to need a stomach, and a stomach needs food, so you're going to need a mouth, but a mouth can't feed itself, so you're going to need hands, and a hand can't get to the fridge, so you're going to need legs, and the list goes on and on and on and on. I mean, it's pretty silly thinking about what's the most important part of the body, because a body is at its best when all the different parts are working together, embracing their difference for the sake of the common good. And it's exactly the same when it comes to a church. And that's what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 4. So he starts off in verse 7 by saying, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And Paul here isn't talking about our salvation this time, that has come to us by grace, but the fact that the Lord Jesus has given each and every one of us a particular gift by grace through his generosity and kindness to us. And you can see the type of gifts that he gives are in certain lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. But the gifts Paul talks about here in Ephesians are a little bit different this time, because rather than talents or affinities or abilities, the gifts here are people. So if you have a look at verse 11, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. These are the gifts that Jesus has given to his church. And he's given these gifts for a particular reason. Verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. What is Paul saying here? Paul's saying that Jesus has given his church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, not just to do works of service, not just to do all the ministry, but to be equipping and mobilising God's people to be doing it as well. Now, in some churches, this is a very different way of thinking about ministry. I remember a number of years ago talking to the committee of a particular church whose pastor had just left because he'd experienced burnout. And they gave me the list of things that they were expecting him to do. It was four A4 pages long, double-sided, in very small font. And there was no way anyone, any human being, could do what they expected him to do, but that's what they wanted. After all, he was the minister. He was best qualified. And wasn't that what they were paying their minister to do? But that's not what we find here in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says that those whom Jesus has given to his church, whether they're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, are to teach and apply God's word in such a way, because that's what these gifted people, these gifts to God's church, all have in common. Each of them in their own way is a teacher of God's word. They are to teach and apply God's word in such a way so that the other members of the church, the other members of the body of Christ, won't only be encouraged as they grow in their knowledge of God's word, but they will also be encouraged to turn that knowledge into action in the service of others. In other words, the role of a minister or Bible teacher isn't to do all the ministry. The role of a minister is to multiply ministry. So that, verse 12 again, the body of Christ may be built up. Built up in its faith until it reaches unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And built up in its resilience, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And built up in maturity, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that the body of Christ will become all that God has saved it to be, which is to be more and more like the Lord Jesus each and every day. More like the Lord Jesus in its trust in God. More like the Lord Jesus in its dependence on God. More like the Lord Jesus in its sacrificial service for the sake of others. This is the goal of the body of Christ. And just like riding a seesaw, it's not something you can do by yourself. Well, I mean, you need to be working together with the gifts God has given you. And here is the answer to the question we started with. How do we do this? What does it look like to gather in such a way that leads to people hearing about Jesus? The way that we'll do this is to work like a body, with each and every one of us playing a role, using the gifts that God has given us to build up the body, all of us engaged in works of service. And for some of us, this will mean equipping God's people by teaching God's word. And for others, it will mean being one of those people who put God's word into action in the service of others. But we all have a role in making this happen, because we're just like a body. We need to do this together. And what this means is that, well, if you're a minister or somebody else here who teaches God's word, and somebody asks you, what do you do? Often happens. What do you say? I'm a leader. I'm a preacher. I run lots of meetings. Or would you say, I'm a multiplier? I teach God's word to equip God's people for works of service. And if you believe that, if you believe what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 4, does that show in the things that you do and the way you use your time? Because there are so many other things that we could be doing with our time. So many other things that aren't as important in the end. But let's just say you're one of the lay leaders in your parish. You're a warden, a parish councillor, synod rep or the like. What do you think your ministers should be doing? Following up all the children's leaders, making sure they've got their working with children's check. Doing the data entry as you move to Elvanto. Compiling the risk register for work, health and safety subcommittees. Negotiating the photocopying contract while providing IT support. Now, I actually enjoy these things. It's one of the few things I do which gives me a concrete sense of achievement. But if you don't think that's my job, if you don't think that's what Jesus sent me to church to do, then please stop me. Stop me. And set things up in such a way so somebody else can be doing these things. Now, there are always exceptions, and there are times when the minister is the best person for the job. Don't hear me wrong at this point. But given what we've seen in Ephesians chapter 4, that Jesus has given us all sorts of different gifts, that Jesus sent all sorts of different gifts to his church, the body of Christ, and that we're supposed to be using these different gifts like the different parts of the body, then what we really need to be doing is to be working at how we can work together as a team. Embracing our difference, using our gifts to build up the body and to see many people saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we continue to praise you for the grace you have shown us in salvation and the grace you have shown us in sending gifts to your church. And we do pray, Father, that we would not use them selfishly, we would not seek to use them for ourselves, but we work together like a body to build up your body, to seek your glory, and to see many of those around us reach with the gospel and save for eternity. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.